Next up, talking about Brexit, should we care what the UDA, the UFF, the Red Hand Commando, what they think about the Brexit backstop? Many loyalist paramilitaries are opposed to Theresa May's withdrawal. Theresa May's withdrawal agreement backstop. But in an article for the Belfast Telegraph, the commentator Ruth Dudley Edwards says, talking to the spokesmen for paramilitaries gives them a status they don't deserve. Good morning to you, Ruth.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. David McNary's with us today as well. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Ruth.
So, Ruth, spell us out to us. What are you saying in the Bell Tell?
I'm essentially saying that the people I care about in Northern Ireland are those who observe the rule of law and did not give way to instincts of revenge and viciousness and did not commit murders and kept the place going and stopped there being a civil war. And, you know, they are forever being ignored in favour of listening to paramilitaries or eulogists for paramilitaries. Now, look, I mean, let me look at this sensibly. I can quite understand if you're involved with loyalist paramilitaries and you see ex-IRA people actually elected into government, you're feeling, why does nobody listen to us? Is it just because we weren't very successful as paramilitaries? And that other people would say, it's only fair. But actually, I think this is unutterably preposterous. These people are criminals. I'm not saying that some of the people that have been elected are not criminals, but they're criminals. We've just got to stop this. This is a complete amoral approach to government. And I mean, I take it all back to...
Well, if you're close to the thinking, if you're close to the thinking, Ruth, of a paramilitary organisation, you're not a criminal. That's got to go through court. You've got to be found guilty of a criminal offence.
That's absolutely fine. But you know very well that the press reports are saying the point of this organisation, the Loyalist Communities Council, which was the brainchild of Jonathan Powell, who was the chief of staff of Tony Blair, and they were utterly and absolutely amoral when it came to dealing with people. They would have talked to absolutely anyone. There were no standards. And it is essentially, they were really rather attracted by the people who had guns.
So this is interesting territory, though. So if there is some community support for those who are aligned to paramilitaries, or indeed if there is community support in Northern Ireland for some paramilitary groups, are you telling me that their voice should be completely censored?
I'm telling you that legitimate politicians actually should be doing their job, going in there and listening to them, but the government should not be. Government should not be giving them the status of saying, very well, you come in and have a meeting with our permanent secretary. I mean, this is actually a corruption of the civil service, that the permanent secretary has to sit there and listen to what the UDA thinks. So this is preposterous. And at least the IRA, at least the Sinn Féin these days, maintain the pretense that the IRA doesn't exist, even though it does, in the form of the Army Council who directs Sinn Féin. But
Sinn Féin would very much deny that.
They certainly would, and they certainly do. But they're less and less convincing in doing so.
David McNary?
Well, good morning, Ruth. And I care about the same people as you do, Ruth, but I also care about the loyalists. And what you're saying is loyalists cannot speak. They've no entitlement to free speech. Shut them out, shut them up. And then what? Because I believe they actually have a right to express their opinions.
You know, what do you mean by loyalists, David?
I mean the loyalist paramilitaries.
Right.
You subscribed, I think, to the same statement that I did by David Trimble when he said that because you have a past doesn't mean you can't have a future.
Absolutely. The
loyalists that I have worked with are leaving their past to have a future. And that's what this is all about.
What about active paramilitaries, David? What about present-day active paramilitaries? Do you think they should have a voice?
Well, present-day active paramilitaries, what is an active paramilitary? How do you mean that?
Someone who's going out and currently collecting protection money.
Well,
somebody who's going out and currently breaking the law. Somebody who is currently a member of an illegal organisation.
All right, the Loyalist Community Council. Let me correct, Ruth. You're absolutely wrong about Jonathan Powell. and the LCC being his brainchild. I was involved in the formation of the LCC, and I can tell you quite categorically it was not his brainchild. So let's wipe that out. And let's
okay, but
that
he
out.
Is claiming he is claiming the credit, David. You know that.
Pardon? What did you say?
I said he is claiming.
Well, let's
the
not
credit.
Get into Jonathan Paul whether he's claimed the credit or not, because it's not. It's not relevant. You know, let's focus on what's relevant, which is do you allow these people to have a voice or do you censor them, David?
Well, they, you've just had a nearly every day and every programme on the BBC is about Brexit. The loyalists have expressed their opinions on Brexit, and what I'm defending is their right to have an opinion. Their future, like the rest of us, has been negotiated away by this duplicitous Prime Minister. And the loyalists are concerned about it. They're watching a gradual erosion of the union by Mrs. May. And it shouldn't surprise anybody that when Republicans and Nationalists think that the border backstop is a great victory closing in a united Ireland, that unionists and the loyalist community would be very, very wary and very concerned
okay.
about it.
Ruth?
I have absolutely no problems with people who have a past which they've put behind them and which they have denounced. I believe in redemption. My problem is with those who are close to active criminals.
Well, what we have, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I put a lot of faith and stock into the Chief Constable, and he has warned continuously of IRA dissidents operating. He alone is the chief law upholder, and he alone will take the right, and I will give him that, take the right security decisions. I haven't heard the Chief Constable commenting about his concerns about loyalist activities comparable to IRA dissidents or anyone else. I do hear, and I continually hear, loyalists being associated with criminality. But the loyalists that I work with, the loyalists that I meet, the loyalists that were involved in setting up the Loyalist Community Council, they have said, and they've said it on your programme, Stephen, that if you are a criminal, you cannot be a loyalist. Now, I think that the loyalists deserve to be to given the space to move themselves away from where they have been to where
okay.
they want to be.
But David, here's, the pertinent question.
Yes?
Does the Loyalist Community Council, does the LCC represent former paramilitaries or both former and current paramilitaries? Paramilitaries.
Look, we're dealing with groups that are prescribed. The UDA exists. The UVF exists.
Okay, so the answer to my question is the LCC represents current and past paramilitaries, correct?
It represents the paramilitary organisations.
So why should people who are breaking the law, I guess this is what Ruth is saying, have access to influential people and have a voice?
Well, the only reason that you have access, Stephen, is that if people open their doors to you. The loyalist community, the paramilitaries, and remember, one of those groups had asked to be prescribed.
Okay, Ruth?
And they showed intent
all right, Ruth?
To disband, but they were refused by the authorities.
Okay, Ruth?
Sometimes we are on a very strange planet. I mean, are we saying, I really was struggling to understand what David was saying. He's actually saying that some of these people are still involved in paramilitary activity, but that as long as the Permanent Secretary is prepared to open his door to them, that's okay.
Well, Ruth, what I'm saying is that the reality of the situation is that the paramilitary organisations still exist. They are still there. And they have worries, and the reasons that they're still there is that they will be prepared, and they are preparing to give up their paramilitarism. But when they see the stuff that's going on about Brexit and the threat it is to their position and the constitutionality of Northern Ireland, they are worried, and it holds them back from taking that leap, going along that journey.
Well, if we follow...
which they say is small steps...
If we follow that logic, David, if we follow that logic... When you say that it holds these loyalist paramilitary groups back from disbanding, Brexit does, If we follow that logic, are you suggesting that Brexit may bring those loyalist paramilitary groups back to being active on the streets?
Brexit won't, because the Brexit that I believe in, and I think most people, most unionists and British people believe in, is that we leave the EU.
Yes, but if Brexit goes the way you don't want it to go, do you think there's the potential for violence from loyalist paramilitaries?
My clear understanding, Stephen, of it is that, and one thing you'll get from the loyalist leaders is they tell it is, and up front they do an awful lot of analysis.
Well, tell us it is now.
Well, let me give me a chance.
We're please. 2 minutes from the news.
My understanding is that they recently met a senior police officer. They brought up the issue of Brexit, and they said to him that they had great and grave concerns about the violence that could erupt over Brexit as enunciated by the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar.
Yeah, but that's different, isn't it? So my direct question, David, remember, we're now 1 minute from the news. My direct question is, would loyalist paramilitaries actually voluntarily participate and be part of the violence if Brexit went against the way they wanted to go?
My answer to that is, Stephen, wait and see, because I could be on the streets protesting if Brexit went belly up.
I'm not talking about protesting, I'm talking about violence.
Will be up if our futures are going to be taken away by a duplicitous Prime Minister and a rotten
is this,
and the EU.
Is this
That's
scary, Ruth?
We've been there before.
I find this extremely scary because, of course, what's happening is the term
constitutionality away.
Do you know what? I think this is actually so important. I just want to bring it over the news this morning. So maybe you can both stay there. This is important stuff. Stay there. Now, a very interesting conversation here going on this morning after Ruth Dudley Edwards has written in the Belfast Telegraph objecting to people with any type of links to the UDA, UFF, Red Hand Commando, from having a voice about Brexit. Now, the reason we've extended this item is here we have a conversation now where David McNary, if I just give you space here, Ruth, you've said this is scary. I'll let you come back in a second. But David, you're saying that you do think if Brexit doesn't go the way that some of the people aligned with your thinking on Brexit goes, you think there could be violence back on the streets. My follow-up question, David, is do you think loyalist paramilitaries would actively encourage or participate in that violence?
Stephen, let me be clear. Now, I don't think that this needs any clarity, and certainly not from an experienced broadcaster like yourself. Many, many people, loyalists included, will be gutted if Dublin rule ends up controlling our border. If Dublin, through the EU, ends up dictating the terms of trade to Northern Ireland, and unionists of all shades will not accept that. I don't speak for any loyalist group, but if Northern Ireland is executed over Brexit, if the union is in jeopardy, I'm very clear in my mind that thousands of unionists will be on the street, and they'll be the same thousands who are being represented today by the DUP fighting rear guard action in Parliament.
Yes, but being
That's
out on
very,
the
very clear.
But David, being out on the streets protesting is different from loyalist paramilitaries bringing violence back onto the streets of Northern Ireland. Do you think there is the potential for these loyalist paramilitaries to bring violence and actually instigate violence?
No.
In Northern Ireland?
No, I do not. I think that loyalists would be part of the protest on the street. There would be no reason why would anybody resort to violence. You've seen what's happening in Paris. No one wants that in Belfast or anywhere else in Northern Ireland. But what I'm saying is that the Taoiseach led down a marker. He caused the greatest offence to all unionists when he actually said, in terms of what he's after, he actually said, and he got them to believe it in Brussels, he actually said that the peace process would be bust and there would be violence over the border.
Okay,
he is the one who initiated this kind of talk.
Ruth?
Not the loyalists, and certainly not me.
Ruth?
Okay, well, I think that David has now stepped back from what he seemed to be saying.
I haven't stepped back from anything, Ruth.
Well, you
put any words into my mouth.
I'm not David, but
you're loyalists.
You did appear to be giving the impression that they would resolve.
I appeared to be giving no impression, and if I did, you wanted to hear that because you didn't hear it from me.
Well, let's let Ruth finish her sentence.
I did not want to hear that. I was about to say that I agree with you about Varadkar. I agree with you that the Irish government has been taking an appalling line on all of this, and I quite understand why loyalists are so enraged because
you don't want to hear their voices.
David,
you won't allow them.
Let's let her finish, David.
We have a position where Sinn Féin are forever pushing a line, which Varadkar is going along with quite a lot of the time, saying it's nothing to do with us, but there might be dissident loyalists, there might be dissidents becoming active, the peace process is threatened, and of course what loyalists are doing is tit for tat on this one. And I just wish they could learn that the smart thing to do is to take the moral high ground and not go into this terrible battle for.
As best as I can assure you and Stephen's listeners, loyalists are not engaging in any tit for tat. The whole matter of law and order in Northern Ireland rests with the Chief Constable, and he will follow the evidence. There's no evidence that loyalists are engaged in that. But what we have has been the Taoiseach lay down a marker to invite violence over Brexit.
There's a wider conversation here, isn't there? The wider conversation is that, you know, whether it is people aligned with the thinking of loyalist paramilitaries having a voice on Brexit, or whether it is those same type of commentators and people talking about other issues in Northern Ireland, should they not have a place to be heard on the likes of the BBC? And I guess, Ruth, that's part of what you're saying too. Should or shouldn't they be heard? Look, I think one of the classic cases is someone like Jimmy Bryson. Jimmy Bryson wouldn't be too far away from the thinking of a loyalist paramilitary group. But the police have not convicted him of membership of any of those groups. And the Nolan Show gets quite a lot of flack, quite a lot of criticism when we bring someone like Jimmy Bryson on the radio.
I would have no problem with that whatsoever. I'm actually in favour of free speech.
I'm just trying to bring it up. Because, and I'm not saying it's your thinking, Ruth, but I do think it brings us into interesting territory, because we do get quite a lot of flack, right, from people from within the media industry and from people from outside it. And you've got to think that through. And certainly our thinking would be, the Nolan Show's thinking would be, you've got to be very, very careful in society when you start banning people from having a voice. People who have not been convicted of a crime, on what basis are you banning them from having a voice? Well, and that's all I would say, and I'm happy to take calls on it. 030 30 80 55 55. And I think what the Nolan Show will do is we will be maybe even more resistant than some other shows from banning people from having a voice, because we're here to actually empower people who might not have a voice elsewhere.
I'm on your side on that.
If I may just say very quickly, Stephen, that's what you do. That's why people listen to you. But the Loyalist Community Council, it too gives a platform for the Loyalist groups to discuss local and national interests. My view is it keeps them interested and it gives them space to have dialogue and talk between themselves, and it brings about clear thinking. And that's no bad thing. And that's basically what we all want, is clear thinking.
I'm sorry, but that is not the same thing as them going in to tell the Permanent Secretary of the Northern Ireland Office what they think about Brexit. That is a completely different thing. Free speech in the public sphere, excellent. I'm in favour of it.
Well, then your argument is against the Permanent Secretary.
Let's let her finish, David. So we know what she's saying.
My argument is against people associated with paramilitary groups being given the right to be taken seriously by government. And I know I understand the history of this. I understand the context of it. But all the time, we are giving in because people are saying, we've got to listen to these people because otherwise they might turn nasty.
Jim Wilson has contacted us this morning. Morning to you, Jim.
Your argument,
morning, Jim.
Let me say this.
No, hold on, David. You can say it afterwards. Jim, good morning to you. Go ahead.
Just a couple of points to Ruth. Ruth, where would this country be if we hadn't have sat down with Republicans and Loyalists and talked to them and to create the Good Friday Agreement and open up what the dialogue was? You're wanting to shut dialogue down. Over the past 3 or 4 weeks, Loyalist representatives have met with the Secretary of State, government ministers, Leo Varadkar, various other people connected to the Irish government, to let them know the state of where we were in reference to Brexit. And you're sitting there saying that you feel that we should not be allowed to do that. So can you explain to me how you profess for loyalism or anyone in that ilk to be able to express their views to government and other people? Because I find it very insulting, some of the stuff that you're saying there. Brian, so as a loyalist community worker.
Sorry, David.
Could you answer that for me?
You'll just have to get over being insulted. Cope with
it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, for
my problem,
people, yes.
My problem is with people associated with criminality. I have absolutely no. I have a great deal of sympathy for the loyalist community.
And who are those associated with criminality?
Hold on now, Jim. Let her
finish. She can't make a broad statement, Stephen, and turn around and then say that.
But they're still organisations. They're still prescribed organisations.
We're not going into that. You're talking about the practice, because it's illegal.
If you're talking about criminality, then if anyone is part, that's
a policing role, Stephen.
Yes, but if anyone is part of a prescribed organisation, then they are by definition a criminal.
Yes. So go ahead. So what's the lady's answer to not talking to people and how the Good Friday Agreement came about?
I don't think that people associated with criminal organisations should be listened to. I'm absolutely all
the way.
Hold on, Jim. Jim, you've got to let her finish and then you can come back.
Okay, yeah.
I think the very fact that the British government, rather than finishing off the job, the security job, gave so much room to the IRA was absolutely a corrupting of society. That's what I think happened. And I think we have reached a stage that it seems somehow strangely perfectly normal that people who are just described as associated with illegal organisations should be taken seriously at government level. I'm sorry. I'm absolutely all for people who are not associated with criminals expressing the point of view of disadvantaged communities. That's great. I think the politicians have done a frightful job for loyalism. I think they have
moved those people on.
I think they have been neglected, and I think...
No, but how do you move those people on who feel that they're still engaged and that type of stuff? Could you explain that to me? How do you move those people on?
Do you just throw them outside the gates and
throw them to the wolves, or do you try and make them come along and understand that there's a better way?
They've had a very long time to discover there's a better way.
Yeah.
I mean, why are we still coaxing them? Because they don't want to give up the life of crime, yeah. Because they're living the life of Riley on drug selling drugs to their own people.
It's 20 years since the Good Friday Agreement, Jim. Like, at what point
Crime's a policing problem, Stephen. Crime is a policing problem. Nothing to do with loyalists or Republicans. Criminality is a policing problem, not loyalisms.
Nothing to do with the UVF or the UDA, Jim. Nothing to do with them.
And the IRA, and the dissidents,
yes.
And all those
nothing
other people
to do with them.
In society. Nothing to do with journalists who get caught doing things that are illegal or policemen that get caught doing things illegal. Illegality is in all steps of society, including politicians, Stephen. So why do you continually want to focus on one section of a community and constantly try and denigrate them?
I'm not focusing on a community, Jim. What we're doing this morning is having a conversation about criminal gangs.
But that lady says you paramilitaries, should not be talking to people.
Paramilitaries are criminal gangs.
No, Stephen, that is not necessarily so.
Well, if you're a paramilitary, let's explore that.
Let's take it back.
Let's take a step back.
What is the meaning of the word paramilitary?
Well, you tell me.
No, you tell me, because you're using the phrase, because I approached the Attorney General not so long ago, and I said, tell me the difference between a paramilitary and a criminal. And the difference is, a criminal constantly does things for the line in his pocket. Paramilitaries engage in a conflict, and some of those paramilitaries have now moved beyond conflict.
Okay, I'm talking about present day, Jim.
Yeah, well, so am I talking about present day, Stephen.
So there's no conflict. Okay, there's no conflict now, Jim.
Yes. They've moved beyond the conflict.
Okay,
and that's what
so if people are still members of a paramilitary gang now, now. Still.
Well, Stephen, stop using the word gang.
Engaged.
You never use the word gang when you're describing the IRA or dissidents. So don't please call a section of a community a gang where you describe.
I have no problem describing.
Well, you describe Republicans and television interviews and that as more or less units and thingy. But when you talk about loyalism, you talk about gangs. The phraseology that you use against the community that I come from ain't nice.
Okay.
It's as simple as that.
Right.
You use the word gang, so you shouldn't be using it. It's not a gang. If there's a criminal gang out there, they're a criminal gang. They're not a loyalist criminal gang. They're a criminal gang.
Right. So you're putting words in my mouth. I have no problem talking about, if it existed, IRA gangs or UVF gangs or UDA gangs.
That, but you don't use that terminology.
No, or Red Hand Commando gangs, for example.
Yes, well, look back on what you've been saying over the, I mean, even the programs you've been doing. You're not describing the IRA as gangs. You've been describing the IRA as units and all for other things. And then when it came on to the King's Mill and all that other stuff, it was loyalist gangs, loyalist gangs, loyalist gangs. Different
right.
terminology.
Okay, so I think what would be a more productive discussion this morning is to talk about whether people who are either in those organizations, gangs, whatever terminology you want to use, should have access to senior people in government and should have a voice. And I guess, Ruth Dudley Edwards, clearly the counter argument is that if they have a voice, if they feel they're getting being listened to, then there is the potential to tempt them out of criminality and show them that there is another way. And that's essentially what Jim Wilson is saying.
Yes, but I mean, after 20 years, we're still coaxing. And government is still coaxing. It isn't. It's not coaxing. It's giving in.
She said we were left behind. She practically said loyalists were left behind. And her own words earlier on this conversation.
Yes,
she said that how much effort was put in to the Republican movement. Did you not say that?
I think that what happened, well, I think that it has to be admitted that Republicans are extremely good politicians. The fact that
Jim, you've got to let her finish. You've got to, man. Right, so let her finish. Take a breath. Let her finish.
I think Republicans are very good politicians. The fact that I think they lead, that the people they lead are taught to hate and are taught to put party before country and everything else is really terrible. So I think at one level they're terrible leaders, but in terms of administrative efficiency, charisma, bringing their people with them, all that, they do that really well. And it's
they get more support than loyalists did
in that. Oh, Jim, would you just shut up for a minute? I think loyalists, on the other hand, are very, very badly led. Well, because you never let me finish a sentence.
I said, like the funny said, you're not answering the question. You're a politician.
I was just about to say that the point is, loyalists, I think, have had terrible political leadership, and I think they've been ignored by mainstream media. I think it's an unutterable disgrace. I understand why they feel so alienated. I am actually very much in favour of listening to people like Jamie Bryson. I mean, people who can articulate a feeling of a community are tremendously important. What I would not do is condone their involvement with criminal groups.
And clearly Jimmy Bryson would deny being involved in a criminal group, and that's for the police to determine. If they have any evidence, they should bring it in front of a court if they want to do that about Jimmy Bryson or any other individual. Jim, I promised I'd let you come back.
Well, Stephen, you know, it boils down again. You know, Ruth is saying there, very rudely asked me to shut up, and I wouldn't say it to anyone on the radio, but I have a point to make, and at the end of the day, and we have been working hard, and see this talk about, I was on your show the other week, and you asked me the question, was there potential for violence? And everything, there's a potential for violence, but there is no will within the loyalist community for anything of that nature.
Sure.
This isn't the backstop, Stephen, as far as we're concerned, in the unionist community. This is a backstab in the unionist community by the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And what she has done, she has left us in a position where we now have to turn around and go around and talk to people and talk to government representatives and that, and tell them the feelings of our community, because no one seems to want to be here. And if Ruth would get her way, then we wouldn't be allowed to speak to anyone in reference to how we are going and how things are doing, you know. And it's not people that Ruth might think are around the table talking to these people. It's people who are not engaging in violence, are not engaging in criminality. So, you know, need to be very careful how she puts this across, because she's making the point there. I think it took nearly 3 years there were two Secretary of States refused to meet with the LCC. And when we, and this is true, we met Leo Varadkar. He'd asked us what was our position with the Secretary of State and what did she view with them. The Secretary of State had refused to meet us. And only
Secretary of State refuses to meet me.
Yes, but yes, not a bit of wonder. But after this, after the Secretary, after he met Leo Varadkar,
you got the Secretary of State and the DUP refusing to meet me.
Yeah, well, the Secretary of State after 3 weeks met us after Leo Varadkar. We had an Irish Republican government minister who actually had to open the door for loyalism in their own country. Think about that one, Ruth. That's lovely. That's the lane you want to take.
I think Ruth, to be fair to Jim, that you, Ruth, and others should be mindful of how Jim and some of the people who are close to his thinking genuinely feel that they're being excluded and isolated.
I deeply sympathise with that. And as long as they are not associated with paramilitary gangs, a word I use frequently of the IRA, may I say. I refer to them as murderous gangs and murderous thugs, so let's be clear about that.
Okay.
But we have to make the distinction. We have to make the distinction because, I mean, we know there's a huge problem with, for instance, the UDA at the moment and drugs and selling drugs to their own people, may I say, which is a worse kind of criminality, almost the worst kind of criminality. We have to make a distinction between people who are genuinely have put violence behind them, have repented of the past and wish to represent the point of view of an alienated community. That's one thing. That's absolutely fine. But giving them a status, because actually the only reason they're given a status is because government is afraid of violence.
Okay.
The only reason they give them status.
Ruth, we're going to leave it there, but thank you very much. Jim Wilson, thank you. And just before we do move on to the next item, just to clear this up about people like Jimmy Bryson and others, the Nolan Show will not be banning Jimmy Bryson or any other citizen of this country from having a voice on this programme. If anybody else wants to do that, that's their prerogative. It's not what we're about. All right? So you can kick off on Twitter, you can kick off wherever you want, but unless someone is convicted of criminal activity or is supporting criminal activity overtly, then we will not be banning people from The Nolan Show. In fact, we're, as I said earlier, we're all about trying to give people a voice, even if they are on the edges of society. That is what this programme does.